The tank is full, and we're moving through the Arizona Hour with Sanderson Ford and Rosie on the house.
We usually do this in the second segment, but I completely forgot about it. We've been off all week. It's Christmas time. It's vacation time. It's family time. So 411-923 is the text number for a set of passes to Arizona State Parks. And these are the new ones, good through January 1st of next year. Text the answer to 411-923, true or false. William Owen O'Neill earned his nickname Bucky because he was a little buckaroo. He was one of the first contenders at the Prescott Day Rodeos and got known for being fairly well-mounted on the bucking bulls and got his nickname Bucky O'Neill. That's true. Text true to 411 or false. Text false, and we'll pick a random right winner at the end of this programming segment and send you two passes to Arizona State Parks with a parking pass. This one doesn't. Yes, it does have parking on it. Yes.
It's one adult, one child, and a parking pass.
And a parking pass. That's right.
And boy, is it going to be a beautiful spring to get out and look around.
Oh man.
It is. A great opportunity to get out and see the state.
Also, don't forget the first hikes.
This one.
At the state park, so on January 1st, which is Wednesday, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you can use those passes for your first hike of the year.
There you go. Very good.
There was a list out. You were talking about top Christmas cities. There was another list that came out this week. It's the end of the year. Everyone's got lists, in fact.
End of the decade, right?
Right. In our home improvement hours later, we'll be talking about our top articles of the year. But this one was top restaurants. And this was of the nation's top 100, Phoenix listed four. So I wrote down which four I think should be on that list. And before I read the article, just to compare how I did, and I didn't get any of them right. But
I guess that depends on how much you like to spend on your dinners.
And that was kind of what made me think, you know, if you are traveling somewhere else, how many people are in Arizona for their first time or in Phoenix their first time, and they read this list and they went to any of them, how many local people would have sent them to the same places? You know, I don't know. Well, if you were sending somebody to eat in Phoenix, where would you send them?
I guess
you want me to go through. I had some time to think about this because I did.
Sure.
Durant's.
Of course. Yes. Nice.
The Stockyards.
Fun.
Grapevine. Fondue.
One of our favorites. Yes.
And the Salt Cellar.
Okay. Unique experience.
Not right. One of those made it. Now, I would have listed Cork and Cleaver, but it burnt down. and the one of the restaurants that did make the four is what was rebuilt there, Steak 44. I don't know if it's the same people that owned
Cork
and
Cleaver,
but Steak 44 made it. I've never been there since it was Cork and Cleaver.
Yeah, I've been.
You have?
Yeah. They're very nice. Very, very nice.
Cafe Monarch. I never even heard of that one.
Well, it's in Old Town Scottsdale. It's been there a while. Jennifer and I visited for the first time just this past year. And I don't like to be critical of anyone, but it's nationally acclaimed as the most romantic restaurant you can eat dinner at. And I would tell you, it's overrated.
If I could pick one place, if it wasn't so far, I would go more often to Winslow, to the La Posada, the restaurant there.
That's turquoise room.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. That's my idea of a really nice dinner.
I mean, if I had one restaurant, it would be Raz's at Scottsdale and Che.
You've mentioned that one a number of times.
Where you just sit right up at the bar where he's cooking, and he just feeds you little bites of some made-up little treat. And you just keep taking little plates until you, like, overflow. You say, whoa, I'm tapping out.
Yeah, you can have a sit-down experience as well. But that's one of our favorites, is to sit at the bar like that and just have him visit with you and tell you kind of what he's thinking about. And it's fun.
I think it's very hard to beat Lon's at Hermosa Inn. I think Lon's is probably one of the finest sit-down. I like Wright's at the Biltmore.
It's been so long since I've eaten at El Charro, but I just remember that being kind of like a too exclusive. Like, you know, you'd have to make reservations for Christmas right now on 2020.
Or off season.
It's nice. Yeah, but El Charro is nice, that's for sure. And the Sanctuary.
And none of those.
The dining room up at the Sanctuary is awful nice.
None of those made the list. It was Cafe Monarch, Ocean 44, Steak 44, I'm assuming the same owner. And then the Kai at Sheraton Grand at Wild Horse Pass. And this was a big survey. Open Table, 12 million reviews of 30,000 restaurants.
Wow.
But not, okay, not one in Tucson made it.
Not one?
Not one. I don't know how you can't.
Huh, wow.
You know, you've got two options there at the Hotel Congress, the Cup or Maynard's. You've got Charles Steakhouse just south. I don't know how those don't end up on it. Or the Peacock Room in Prescott.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Hey, text us your favorite restaurant, 411-923. Let's do our own little survey.
How many from New Orleans made?
Okay. Here's what really, like, when I looked at it.
Got a
little
flag. All
right, throw this list away. One, and it's one you've never even heard of, Bistro Daisy. Exactly.
There's a lot of puzzled looks.
is that in Scottsdale or Phoenix?
That's New Orleans.
Oh, New Orleans?
The only one that made it in New Orleans is Bistro Daisy, someplace nobody's ever heard of.
Oh, no. You haven't. You got to have the souffle at Commander's Palace. Oh, that is a must. My favorite place is Nola in the Quarter. Mm-hmm. And in fact, when you talk about the restaurant where you sit up at the bar and watch the chef, my favorite thing is I go solo, I sit up at the bar. And what the chef does when he gets started, he says, okay, I got to practice a little bit. He just makes something up, it's outstanding.
Yeah.
Outstanding before you get your entree.
So I guess the whole point of this conversation is if you're new to Arizona and you're going off of lists to pick your place to go and dine, spend a few more minutes asking around.
Ask a local.
No limit of great places to dine, that's for sure.
Plus, you want to break it down a little bit. Best place to have
by
breakfast.
Genre. Yeah, right.
Breakfast, lunch, or dinner. And Old Town Scottsdale is kicking at breakfast. I mean, there are four or five places, including some of the hotels that do a really great breakfast. And it's you just got to walk in and flip a coin because you're not going to be disappointed.
I think price point counts as well. I don't like to eat and then get nauseated afterwards when I see that bill. So, hey, all the talk this year, too, is about the growth in Arizona.
Been a good year for Arizona.
It has been. Who do you think moves here the most? From what state?
California.
I would say California.
25% of our newcomers are from California. University of Queensland out of Australia did a survey of 60 countries. And Americans, of course, as you maybe suspect, are the most mobile. 45.9% will move in a year's time. In five years.
Okay.
45% will move. And the interstate migration routes that attracted most were California to Texas. That one surprised me.
That's the number one in the
move.
The continental United States.
This is a 2018 number, but yes, from California to Texas.
Wow.
That's a big culture change.
That surprises me.
And climate change.
Well, depends on what part of California. There's a lot of the climate that's very similar. And when you think of California and you think, politically, the big cities really cloud what the rest of the culture in that state really is.
True. And then
California to Texas. Okay.
Next would be California to Arizona.
All right.
That one's not hard to imagine. We're close. We're cheaper.
And when you're leaving California, you're leaving with so much equity. If you've been there any time at all, you know, you can come to affordable Arizona. You can come to affordable Texas and seriously upgrade the size of your house for half the mortgage.
And a lot more land.
And a lot more land. Yeah, absolutely.
Here's the third one. New York to New Jersey.
Fleeing New York. New York to New Jersey.
And yeah, I've never been to either one of those places, but in my mind, there's like nowhere else to build. It's all concrete houses everywhere. How can you have room to go to New Jersey? Isn't it full already?
You'd be surprised. I was surprised the first time I saw it.
Well, New Jersey is a little cheaper than New York by about a buck and a quarter. You know.
Okay.
Okay, here's the most interesting findings about Arizona. 750 people per day settled in Arizona last year.
Whoa.
Which county got the most? Oh, you guys know.
350 a day.
Maricopa County got the most.
Next?
750 a day.
700.
In the state.
And then, of course, we already talked about most of them. 25%
That's so bitter. That's so bittersweet. You know, you're happy for the state, but it kind of hurts at the same time. Ouch. Oh, man. But no. I think Governor Ducey has the perfect byline for the state. Come and be ready to work.
Get it done together. And then we have, with almost 180,000 people who moved away from Arizona, we still gained 94,000 newcomers.
Well, on a population of 7 million.
Out of complete curiosity, did that list say where Arizona's were moving to? Like the of the people that left, that 180,000, where was their top destinations?
This particular article did not, but maybe we could find out.
I don't know. Where would you go once you leave Arizona? Where would be a better place to live?
I think what I see more often than not, just observing, is people going back to wherever it is their family moved from originally.
Could be.
Going back to take care of parents, going back to the family.
Or trying to find what Arizona was 20 years ago.
That too.
Going to Wyoming, going to Idaho.
Or industry change or job change.
Industry change, yeah.
Yeah. I would probably just move more rural here somewhere. A little cooler than the desert floor and a little less people.
And Idaho was, in fact, the fastest growing state in the Union as a percentage of its existing population. So, but there's only 1 million people in Idaho. That alone makes it a great reason to move there. That's a beautiful state, too.
You know, all the pictures I notice I see of that isn't of it under snow. And I understand it is often that way.
Idaho is. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
There was a time I thought I could do that in the snow. I can go visit it. I don't think I could live in it.
Yeah. Well, I know you have a wife who couldn't or wouldn't.
Well, that's a, you know, that's a big part of, you know, our lifestyle and with the horses. What do you do completely covered under snow? You know, we're so spoiled. We've been pouting all week because it's been too muddy to ride. And I mean, this is like 5 days we can't ride. What would we do with 5 months under snow? You could.
Yeah, really.
I thought the same thing. The horses have no footing. You know, their stalls and their arenas are like muck. What do you do in a place?
Oh, and
I
you guess know, you just... a lot of those old cowboy songs talking about catching a snow, you know, stepping on a rock under the snow drift and breaking an ankle. And, you know, it's...
We are spoiled.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
I don't think I could do it. So the answer to today is true or false, Bucky O'Neill. It did not come from rodeo. It came from a move called Bucking the Tiger. It was a strategic play in a Faro card game. And if the last four digits of your phone number are 6605, congratulations, you're the only correct answer. I've never seen just one person ever get it right. But you were today, and we'll send you two tickets to Arizona State Parks. And Gary's talking to a person on the phone, so we'll talk a little bit longer and take our break later.
Multitasking.
When it's your time, it's your time. Did you see this guy survived flying off 89A coming out of Jerome?
No.
Going 65 and a 25, flew 120 feet in the air before he went down 300 to 400 feet. Rolling down, he was mechanical extraction was required. They had to helicopter him in, took him to Deer Valley, and he was expected to make a full recovery.
Wow.
But let that be a lesson to you if you're new and you see a sign that says 25.
There's a reason.
And there's and that 89A coming down to Jerome is very curvy. And
just couldn't catch that curve, I guess.
I don't think many people would survive that route.